for tapes, CDs, DVDs to our publication Voices from His Excellent Glory, Declaring the Kingdom. Write P.O. Box 21516, Hot Springs, Arkansas, zip 71903. Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com and LHBCOnline.com. There are hundreds of free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home. This is the 2006 Labor Day Teaching and Deliverance Camp meeting being held at Lake Hamilton Bible Camp in Hot Springs National Park, Arkansas. This is Saturday morning, September the 2nd, 2006. Clement Humbard is the speaker of the morning teaching on the Lord Jesus Christ.
And it's a privilege and an honor to have Brother Clement Humbard minister to us today. Amen.
Would you please stand for the reading of God's Word in a brief prayer? What is man that thou art mindful of him? Or the son of man that thou visit him? Thou hast made him a little lower than the angels, crowned him with glory and honor, and did set him over the works of thy hand. Thou hast put all things in subjection under his feet. For in that he put all things in subjection under him, he left nothing that is not put under him. But now we see not yet all things put under him. This is Hebrews, the 2nd chapter, beginning with verse 6. It's also a portion of scripture found in Psalms, the prophecy in Psalms, the 8th chapter, verse 5. Now, believers, how many believers in this place? The Bible said Jesus looked up. I want you to look up as we pray. O thou King of kings, thou Lord of lords, the great I am, the miracle worker, the everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace, we worship and honor thee. Thank thee for the presence of thy Holy Spirit, for the love of God, the Spirit of God in this gathering today. Hide every life behind the cross of Christ. I pray may no man be seen after this service except the lowly Nazarene, the Son of God. I pray that no voice will be heard or remembered except that still small voice of the Spirit that leads us on and on to follow the Lamb of God wheresoever he goeth. Bless thy people. Encourage thy people. Lift them up to new heights. And we will be careful to come back in thy presence and give thee the honor and the glory. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you. You may be seated. As previously stated by the director of this camp, Brother Glenn Miller, the whole subject and theme of God's Word, God's Kingdom, is the Lord Jesus Christ. Any time we receive of God or try to teach others, and Jesus Christ is not the center of that conversation, he's not the center of that doctrine, if the Lord Jesus Christ is not absolutely the heart, the soul of that blessing, we're out on a limb and we don't have sense enough to correct ourselves. The Bible has one great theme. It points to the Lamb of God that taketh away the sins of the world. And he it is that shall baptize you with the Holy Ghost and fire. It talks about the great Emmanuel, the branch, that is God is with us, and the Word was made flesh and dwelled among men. That's the Lord Jesus Christ. No wonder Apostle Paul said, when I was with you, he said, I was determined not to know anything among you save Jesus Christ and him crucified. Because it's out of Christ that all of these blessings come. That doesn't mean that you only know like in human knowledge, and the Word of God has nothing to do with knowing about something. Millions of people know about God and know about Christ, but very few really know God and know the Lord Jesus Christ. So Apostle Paul reminds the people in this letter to the Thessalonians, I was determined not to know anything among you save Jesus Christ. In other words, you and I are wasting our breath and time and energy to preach anything that Christ is not the center of. The Word of God hinges not around Israel, old Israel, modern Israel.
It's not about the tenfold kingdom of Daniel. It's not about latter rain as such. It's not about the sons of God being manifest. The Word of God is proclaiming and exalting the Lord Jesus Christ. All of these things must fit in to the Lord Jesus Christ. He's not a little sideshow, and the great circus is this fad, that fad, something that blows through town. Not at all. Jesus Christ, if I may use the street language, He is the three ring circus all in itself. He's the beginning, He's the ending, He's the Alpha, He's the Omega. He's the first, He's the last. And I'd like to remind you, get out of the natural into the supernatural, out of the earthly into the heavenly, out of the carnal into the spiritual. He is not only the Alpha Omega, He is the Omega and the Alpha. He's not only the first and last, He's the last and the first. He's not only the beginning and the ending, He's the ending and the beginning, all wrapped up together. The Bible said He's made unto us wisdom, righteousness, sanctification, and redemption. I hope you never remember this message today, but you remember the Lord Jesus Christ in His fullness, His honor, His glory, His majesty. Somebody give me an amen. And Paul said, I was with you in weakness and in fear and in much trembling. He wasn't a coward. He'd stand up before kings and witness. But he said, in my preaching, in my teaching, was not with enticing words of man's wisdom, but is in demonstration of the Spirit and of power. That your faith should not be in the wisdom of men. What brother so-and-so said. His tapes, his books, 7 steps to deliverance. How to have peace in the home. You get the Prince of Peace and all these things will fall in line. Jesus said they'll say, anointing here, Christos, Christ is here, Christ is there. And they'll run north, south, and east, and west. There's nothing wrong with joining in God's people and being blessed in a conference like this. But don't you run after every Tom, Dick, and Harry. Send in $150, registration, Kansas City, St. Louis, now Los Angeles, now Atlanta. You better pray through, because it reminds me of the old story, and I put it in the book, The Awesome Glory. I don't tell hardly any stories in that, but a man, God bless Brother Glenn, Lord, complete restoration of this story. Forget that little story and tell it some other time. But the Bible said, who is man that thou art mindful of? Now, most of you came to this camp meeting to see what you could get out of. God bless you. If your desires, seeking God, wholeness, and righteousness, I pray God that every one of them be fulfilled. But I'm telling you, you're still a little babe in Christ. Gimme, Lord, and forgive me. You don't know who God is and who you are in Christ, or you wouldn't be around begging God. And every Tom, Dick, and Harry to lay their hands on you, hit you on the head and push and push and get the ushers ready now. Down you go. In the great meetings in the 40s and 50s across America, we never saw anyone fall backwards except demon-possessed. I didn't say you're demon-possessed. Don't misunderstand me. But they, when the power of God is there, sometimes they wouldn't be touched and they'd still fall. Now, half of our problems would be solved if we knew truly who God is. And then that other half would almost completely be solved if we knew who we are in Christ. I'm going to repeat from a former message. Since the Protestant Reformation, the church has lost 500 years and wasted it. Did you know if you are saved that the Holy Spirit convicts you of sin, righteousness, and judgment, and if you receive a divine call of God? And let me tell you, one time I took 2 weeks, had big meetings across America during that time, but 2 weeks, and I studied on one theme, call of God, God dealing with the human soul. It changed my basic theology. Man cannot get right with God on his own terms when he gets good and ready. You'll come back if you hear His voice. It starts with God. It doesn't start with man. God creates a hunger and a thirst and a desire. You hear a message or alone, and God starts dealing with you like the prodigal son. And he came to himself. You start coming to yourself. How can you be convicted of the Spirit, born again by the Spirit, sealed by the Spirit, if the Spirit of God is not dealing with you? No wonder the Bible said, "My spirit shall not always strive with man." But when you're really saved and born again, you should be born complete in Christ. Instead, we preach this watered-down salvation. Now, do you want to accept Jesus? That term's not in the Bible. You accept statements about Jesus, but you don't accept Jesus. The Bible said, as many as receive Him. You see, the difference to receive Christ means that now He is Lord of my life. I am no longer my own master. The Lord Jesus Christ is my master. And people ought to be saved, born in the family of God, and they either ought to get in or get out. They either ought to believe God or not believe God. Now, if you believe God, you don't have to be pumped up by every evangelist, and Clement Humbert has to come pump you up, try to increase your faith to believe God for a miracle, believe God for healing, believe God for an answer to prayer. You don't know who God is and who you are. You don't need that. We've wasted 500 years preaching to the choir and the church, telling the church what God can do. We ought to go and tell the world what God can do. Tell the church who God is and who they are in Christ, so they'll get out and witness to God and help win the world for the Lord Jesus Christ. Instead, the church has become a mop-up hospital. "Well, I'm doing the best I can." How long have you been saved? "Well, I've been in the way 20 years. Get out of the way and get moving for God. If you're saved and born again, you ought to come to that place. Either there's a God or there's not a God. And if there is a God, He can do everything or nothing. We know He can do everything. Now, if there is a God and belief releases the Spirit of God and the power of God in our direction, then God can do anything and everything, and all we got to do is receive the blessings of Almighty God. Do y'all lay hands on the sick and anoint with oil around here? Sure, come on up, little baby Christian. Now, you may be going through a crisis of life, and everybody can have a Job experience sooner or later in their life, but most Christians are not having a Job experience, and we bear burdens one another. But you shouldn't be here to be healed. You should be running around laying your hands on the sick and healing the sick in Jesus' name. Now, that didn't go over. I'm going to emphasize it again. "Go into all the world," Jesus said, "and preach the gospel to every creature. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. He that believeth not shall be damned. These signs shall, will, shall follow the believer." How many believers? Jesus said, if you're a believer, these signs are going to follow. What? "In my name they'll cast out devils." I wrote my first book on deliverance, and it's out of print many years, but it's 1971, and it was entitled Bound by Demons. And in that book, we acknowledge with the Church of England and its leaders that Christians can be possessed in certain areas of their life by demonic spirits, regardless of what people say. But Carla, God bless you. We appreciate you and love you. But don't tell people to keep breathing out and coughing out unless we tell them now the breath of God in breath. See, inspiration, the Holy Spirit, means God in breath. So have those same people that are coughing and spitting and getting rid of evil spirits. You know, Jesus said an evil spirit. Now, is this Bible or not? He said an evil spirit is cast out. A man goes through dry places and he comes back and sees the place garnished, swept, cleaned up. He goes and gets seven others. So here's what I want you to do. If demons are cast out of you or some spirit that doesn't belong in some area of your life, the physical, the spiritual, the mental, the emotional, the sexual, the affectionate, if some spirit is cast out, I want you to start not only breathing hard out when your teachers are up here, but also start breathing deeply in, trusting God that the Spirit of God will saturate and penetrate and fill you with overflowing. Those spirits, the sevenfold spirit, is found in Isaiah, the 11th chapter, and it said this: the branch, the Lord Jesus Christ, will come out of the root of Jesse, and it'll be the spirit of wisdom. So you can, if it's a foolish spirit, we'll just say, now, Lord, I'm rid of that spirit, but I invite, I welcome. See, like, I believe it's 17 cases that Jesus recorded in Jesus' ministry where sickness and disease was not caused by natural causes, but directly, spiritual causes. If a demon has bound someone, they don't need the prayer of faith. They don't need the gift of healing. They don't need the gift of miracles. They need the demonic force. Satan, Jesus said, Satan has bound this little lady, lo, these 18 years. Woman, be loosed of thy infirmity. Now, does that make sense? So we don't need the prayer of faith as a direct demon that is causing the affliction. We need exorcised. We need that demon cast out that is causing. Now, all people are not sick because of a demon as such. You may eat wrong. You may overwork, oversleep, something else, and you brought it upon yourself. What you sow, you reap. All right, but every time you, if you go through this with these teachers, please immediately you invite and breathe deep in filling of the Holy Spirit, because the Spirit, one of the words is wind or breath, and this Holy Spirit is defined theologically as the inbreathing of God into a human soul, inspiration and the Spirit. So breathe in. Who is man that thou art mindful of him? Thou hast created him a little lower than the angels. One, the verse, I believe, in Psalms says the gods, little g, gods. Now, we're created, according to Genesis 1:26, in the image of God. Now, we're not in some fake atheistic thing. We're the highest gorilla on the evolution pole. Where does intelligence come from? Where does life come from? Where does love come from? Where does reasoning come from? Where does imagination come from? Man is created in God's image. There's Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. And in 1 Thessalonians 5:23, it said, I pray God your whole spirit, soul, and body be preserved blameless until the coming of the Lord. The Greek verb there is taking care of singular thing. And God's Word, inspired by the Holy Spirit, says man is one being, soul, spirit, and body. Now, through the Spirit, you're God conscious. Through the soulish part of man, which is the reasoning, the imagination, the memory, the conscience, and the affection, and that's also the seat of your willpower, the soulish part of man, man is self-conscious. Then through the physical body and the five senses, man is world conscious or conscious of others. So God created man in His image. Who is man that thou art mindful of him? Thou hast created him a little lower than the angels, or small g, gods. Thou hast crowned him. Thou hast crowned him with honor and glory. Originally, man was made crowned with the honor of God and the glory of God. Back in Eden, it's a praise and worship center. That's why Lucifer, when he got kicked out of the heavens, he's the praise and worship leader. Now he comes down and sees what is this praise and worship going down here on this planet Earth. And he walked in the Garden of Eden. Eden was a gigantic praise and worship center, sky dome. Boy, wouldn't that be a wonderful thing? And the Shekinah glory was there because God crowned man with glory and honor. So, presence of God, and in the cool of the evening, God talked with man and man talked with God. Usually when we read that in the book of Genesis, we'll say, well, I just wonder if there was such a thing. Then we'll turn around and say, well,
this happened just in a few days. No, it might have been 1,000 years, 2,000, 2,000 or 3,000 years. Man was with God and God was with man. That's Emmanuel, and that means God be with us. The universal presence of God is everywhere. I read it this morning. The psalmist said, if I make my bed in hell, you're there. And if I take the wings of the morning and soar out into space, thou art there. You can't hide yourself from the universal presence of Emmanuel. But the manifest presence of God for an individual, that is where someone has faith and believes. Then there is the Shekinah glory presence of Emmanuel. Now, all of us will teach, oh, the universal presence, God's everywhere. Then we'll do the other. Well, seek God with your whole heart, and He's going to bless you. He's going to answer your prayer. He's going to reward your faith. We believe in that manifest presence. But none of us, we're scared and we're afraid to believe in the Shekinah presence of Almighty God. God created man with honor and glory. You remember in Matthew, the 22nd chapter, also recorded in one of the other Gospels, I guess Luke, they came to Jesus, somebody give me a coin, I'll give it back. 40 years, I don't care money. And you know, Jesus never answered questions directly, did He? Foolish question, He didn't get a foolish answer, He just didn't answer at all. I've had people say, well, God, Moses said, I want to go into the promised land. God said to Moses, no, you're not going. And they say, sometime God says no. Wait a minute. Let's balance that with a balanced truth. Promises of God are sometimes no. No, all the promises of God are yea. What does yea mean? Yes. And then God brads the nail on the other side. All the promises of God are yes and amen. Now, you can't pull that nail out. God didn't say no to Moses. He had already settled that years ago. He had already settled. You've disobeyed me, and this whole generation won't go in except Caleb and Joshua. God had already settled that thing. So anyway, they come to Jesus trying to trick Him. And they said, we know your works of God. And if you read in Matthew, this is very important. It said, you're preaching the truth, Lord, telling us the ways of God. Now, baby Christians always want the handout from God. Gimme, 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 gimme. Children of Israel wanted daily manna. Then they lusted for onions and leeks and garlic of Egypt. Then they lusted for party time and build a golden calf while Moses is on the mountain receiving the Ten Commandments by God. Wonder God just doesn't give up on the human race. But He hasn't. God didn't say no to Moses. He just didn't say anything. It's already settled. But here they said, we know that you're from God. And you, here in Matthew 22nd chapter, and you preach the truth and tell us the ways of God. Wow. Not only the works, but the ways. Moses wanted to know the ways of the Lord. That's intimate relationship with God. Why do you serve God? Why are you at this camp? Why do you serve God? Well, He blesses me. That's the wrong reason. Well, I want to get healed. I pray you will get healed, but that's the wrong. You know why you serve God? Because He is God, period. Amen. Amen. Did you hear me? Because He's God, period. You don't serve Him for things. Thank God for the things. That's the fallout of serving Him. You love Him and serve Him because He is God, period. That's the whole duty of man, Ecclesiastes said. So they said, Lord, we know You're from God and You teach us the ways of God. But now, is it lawful to pay tribute to Caesar? He said, hand me a coin. Hand me a coin. He said, whose superscription? They said, Caesar's. He said, render unto Caesar. Now watch it. Unto the things that are Caesar's. But render unto God. I see the Master with a vision of faith, taking His hand and slowly moving it in the direction of that vast crowd. And He says, you are created in the image of God. This coin is created in the image of Caesar. You are created. God's greatest handiwork. He created the sun, the moon, the stars, the visible, the invisible. But God's greatest handiwork you see when you looked in the mirror this morning.
When you shook hands with one of your friends, you saw God's greatest handiwork. An eternal being, you saw the physical body and a manifestation of the soul and spirit somewhat, but to live forever, with God or without God. So the Master simply says, render unto Caesar things Caesar, but you're created in the image of God. So you give, you render unto God the things that are God. You're not your own. You're bought with a price, whether you ever go in cash in it or not. Whether you ever deliver your freedom and receive your freedom, you're purchased with a price. Man is created in the image of God. So who is man? Thou hast created him a little lower than the angels. And the Bible said, thou hast put all things into subjection under his feet. Now, why aren't they? Well, Brother Clement, someday in the sweet by and by we'll eat pie in the sky and we'll have no more troubles and burdens, but we just got to stumble through this life believing our doubts and doubting our beliefs, hoping for the best. And we just stumbled around, sin, thought, word, deed, and action, poor little us, poor little things we are, can hardly wait to get into glory. Good Lord. You're in a place that believes in the sweet by and by, but we also believe in the sweet now and now. He that the Son sets free is free indeed. Bible said, the Word of God said that we're more than conquerors through the Lord Jesus Christ. Believe who God says you are. Believe who God is and who you are in Christ. The Bible said in 2 Thessalonians 2:14, thanks be unto God who sometime causes us to triumph. Well, that's what we're living. That's the way we're acting. It said, thanks be unto God who always, always, always stand before God and say, Lord, you help me, but I'm one of those triumphant always. Causes us to triumph always. Greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. Now, in Psalms 110, follow me. You'll have to pull all these things together. But I give an audience credit that they know about God about the same as I do, and not only about Him, but they know God the same as I know God. I don't treat Him A, B, C all the time. I challenge you to think and dig into God's Word and the true things of God. But in Psalms 110, Yahweh, Jehovah, it's unfortunate that it's translated with all these J's. There's no J in the original. It's Yahweh or Jehovah, more a Y than a J. It says, Yahweh said to my Yahweh. Oh, you're misquoting? No, that's what it says. Jehovah God said to my Jehovah God. See, we try to figure out the Godhead. Give me a candle now, give me a match, and I'll show you. Paul said, great is the mystery of godliness. Quit wasting your time trying to figure out who God is. And all. We know about enough about God to tell the truth, straighten up, mind our own business, help everybody, keep our mouth shut unless we know what we're talking about or unless it can help somebody. Don't try. Paul said, great is the mystery of godliness. God manifests in the flesh, preached to the Gentiles or the heathen, believed on in this world, seen of angels, and received back up into glory again. That's good enough for me too. But Yahweh said to my Yahweh, sit here in my right hand, till I make your enemies thy footstool. Follow me. We know in the Word of God, even in the book of Acts, it mentions that Christ is seated at the right hand of God. And we're in Christ. Ephesians, the first chapter, speaks that he is seated in the heavenlies. And then it said that the body, which is the church, is seated there right now with him, not in the sweet by and by. But we don't believe it. We get out in the mire, poor little me. Somebody looked cross-eyed at me. I got this hateful telephone call from some relative. My Lord, where's God? Where's faith? Where's the Word of God? Where's the power of the Holy Spirit? God created man not to live in subjection to anything on this earth other than God and His divine power. Churches run around in subjection to every thought, every doubt, every fear. When the devil says, boo, don't scream. Just say, boo, boo. Just you, Satan. Can't waste my time. You know, the greatest way sometimes, the Bible said, the man of God is not to strive. quit taking on all the spiritual battles that you have no business fighting. If God tells you to go to a city, form a Jericho march, just be sure you heard of God. Then if it doesn't have witness on both ends with someone else, don't let them join your Jericho march. If God sent you, but people, you know, they just run after this, that, and the other. They got to get in this, that, and the other, and take on the whole world, and their whole own life goes all apart. All splinters. So, it's like, heal thyself first, physician. So, we're seated in the heavens with the Lord Jesus Christ presently. Colossians said this, and Ephesians 2nd chapter said, you are risen with Christ. We're identified in Christ's death, His burial, and His resurrection. We're also identified in His ascension. When Christ rose, the Bible shows we rose with Him. Not only that, but the Bible shows that we're to be transfigured just like Jesus on the Mount of Transfiguration, metamorphosed. Romans 12th chapter, be not conformed, but be transformed. That word's metamorphosed. Galatians 4:19, Paul said, I'll agonize in spirit till the full image of Christ be formed. That word form is metamorphosed. That's the same word used on the Mount of Transfiguration in two of the Gospels, recorded in one other Gospel. And 2 Corinthians 3:18, for we all behold with open face as looking through a glass darkly, glory of the Lord. And as we look, we are changed into the same image that's here in this life, into the same image, the image of Christ, from glory to glory through the Spirit of God. That change word is metamorphosed. Church is to be changed in His likeness. Now, in Hebrews, Paul, no doubt, wrote the book of Hebrews. He said, but every enemy ought to be underfoot. But said, we don't see every enemy underfoot yet. Time the church grew up. See, God's not through with this world yet. You see, oh, Iraq. Oh, Lebanon. Can't tell me anything about it. The last time they had, 20 years ago, when they had all of that over there, I was in the middle of it in Lebanon. When the Israeli forces went all the way up to the outskirts of Beirut. I went through the Israeli forces and went down to Tyre and Sidon. We had shells going overhead sometime 2 hours a time. No one knew who was firing at whom. You'd go down a street and you'd come back that afternoon and you have to take a detour. There's a big giant hole. A Sam missile came out of the mountains and hit. But if you say, oh, everything is about ending up. Listen, be ready to live, ready to die, ready for rapture, ready for persecution. Then you're ready. But I'm not going to join, and I didn't when I was young, this escapist thing, a crowd that say, God won't let His little people suffer. Boy, you can sell the tapes and the books on that. The Bible said all those that live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. It says it. If you and I are not suffering any persecution, just keep your shirt on. It's coming down the road if we're godly and holy. He's telling about knocking this minister up. Two fellas, demon-possessed. No, I've been there myself. I've been knocked down a few times, unexpectedly. Demon-possessed individuals. But we are to be seated in the heavenlies presently with the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, every enemy ought to be underfoot. Number one, sin. I make no excuse for sin. God doesn't license anybody to sin. Well, no one's perfect. The Bible said, be you perfect even as He is perfect. When no one's holy, the Bible said, be ye holy, for I am holy. I'm not talking about what people say, human perfection. There are two words in the Greek New Testament. One means you're fit in where you belong. And the other is that you reach maturity. You're not a little babe. Gimme, 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 and forgive me, forgive me, and whining around, puking around, getting mad. Someone didn't shake hands with you or some other little silly thing. We're supposed to be heirs and joint heirs with the Lord Jesus Christ right now. So sin, how many believe you could not sin for 1 minute, 1 hour, 1 day, 1 week, 1 month? The keeping grace of God, it could go on a year, couldn't it? It could go on a lifetime, couldn't it? Because it's not by might nor power, but by His Spirit. You can't live a Christian life unless you have the old-timer said, the liver in you. Christ will live it in you and through you. All you got to do is yield and use some good sense and stay in the Word and walk in the Spirit And the Bible said that the seed remaineth in John, 1 John. The seed remaineth and he cannot sin. Wow! But every Protestant church I go to and listen to a minister, and almost every time I turn the TV on, well, we're all human. I got mad on the golf course yesterday. Well, I got mad twice this week. What's that pastor doing twice with the world dying, going to hell on the golf course two times in 1 week? Knock these little balls around. Now, sickness, disease ought to be put underfoot. It was mentioned here last night, God's people ought to be living in divine health. You remember I said we call her over? Oh, my grandma had that lumbago. I guess it runs in the family. Here, Rover, like calling a little dog. Come on, Rover. Come on, Rover. I told you, you know, if you have a little dog named Rover and I'm visiting you, you'll say, let me tell you what this cute little dog did yesterday. And he hears his name. He's over there asleep. But he opens his eyes. His ears perk up. You keep talking about Rover. You don't have to call him. He'll get up and trot over there. So, just keep talking about your weakness, your sin, your failure. And you know what you're doing? Come on, Rover. Put that heart trouble on me. Come on, Rover. My aunt. Oh, she's in the insane asylum. Sometimes I think I'm losing my mind. Keep thinking, and you will, according to man thinketh. Put your foot down on sin. Put your foot down on sickness and disease. Third enemy the church ought to be ruling over, and you and I, is demon power. The adversary comes but for to kill, to steal, and destroy. Martin Luther got so accustomed to fighting the devil that one time he was awakened from a sound sleep and looking, there was the devil manifesting himself in a visible way. You say, that's impossible. No, it's not. Many of us in this audience, and we weren't imagining things. Boy, the first time it happened to me, I'm ashamed. I was preaching a citywide revival in Houston, Texas, in a tent that seated 8,000. I never dreamed Satan would appear to me, but when he did, I was speechless and couldn't move. I wish I could tell you how I was God's man of power and leaped up and said, Satan, I rebuke. No. But Martin Luther, there was the devil in his room. What did he say? Oh, just you. And he turned over and wrapped the covers around and went back to sleep. Because sometimes the best way to whip the devil, ignore him. If you're going to advertise and get on the phone and call all the prayer warriors every time the devil or demon sneezes at you, he'll say, boy, I'm riding this out. I'm getting a lot of publicity from this old boy or this old gal, and he'll just keep you all torn up day and night the rest of your life. Do what Jesus said. Get behind me, Satan. Get out of here. And the devil will come and say, you can't believe God. Say, Satan, you have nothing to do with this. This is me and the Lord. Don't argue with him. When he knocks on the front door, don't offer him a rocking chair to discuss it and talk it over. All right, put your foot down on sin. Put your foot on sickness, disease. Put your foot on demon power. Jesus said, I give you power with demons? No, over the enemy. And nothing by any means shall hurt you. Then, fear. Whole church is bound by fear. You heard it again last night. God hath not given us a spirit of fear, 2 Timothy 1:7, but of power, of love, and of sound mind. If you have a fear in your head right now, just touch your forehead and say, this is not of God. Fear be gone in Jesus' name. God doesn't give me the spirit of fear, but of power, of love, and of a sound mind. Then get your mind on something else. The devil sows the thoughts. All thoughts come from the human or divine, or God or the devil. So be able to recognize what's what. Put your foot on fear. Don't say, well, it runs my family. I've always feared things. See, that is the old person. Not anymore. After I heard that sermon, I'm not a fearful person. I'm going to believe God. God didn't give me that, and I don't have to have it. Then the next, and I've already touched on it, is the old man, the old nature. But my Bible said this. If any man be in Christ, he's the old nature. He is what? New creation, a new creature in the Lord Jesus Christ. And I'll tell you, don't get caught in that low-down trap that everybody's preaching today.
Well, that's the old man, and you know he has to drag along. The Bible said the old man is crucified. The Bible said the old man is dead. See, if you believe that, you'll live there. If you'll believe the real Word of God, the Bible said, he that doeth righteousness, not believeth, is righteous even as he is righteous. He that doeth not righteous hath not seen him or known him. My God. Either we're saved. People say, well, the Lord can save you. He can save you. We get someone saved. Then they say, you know, I fail God. Well, honey bunch, all of us fail God. All of us sin, more or less, thought, word, deed, and action. That's like a guy drowning out here. You know, some lady leaped off the bridge here a while back, and a jogger took her shoes off, and a man stopped his car, took his shoes off, and they said, shall we? And they grabbed arms, and they jumped off that high bridge into Lake Hamilton, and they saved that woman's life. Now, pull her out, and what if they had pulled her out, and she turns around and falls back in the lake? Now, they pulled her out of the lake, like God pulls us out of sin. Then she says, comes up, help! Help, I'm drowning. Oh, everybody's got to drown a little more or less. Everybody got to sin a little bit. Then that sixth enemy, poverty. And men and women of God can stand here in this pulpit without a dime to their name. No resources except God. And they can be rich in faith. Rich in the blessings of God. Rich in the Spirit. But see, the Bible is an Eastern book, and we're Western. We've Westernized it so much we've got way away from all of the original meanings. I don't know. It's the problem for God, and I don't know how we'll ever get back. I spent much of my life in 24 times in the Mideast, not just in Israel and hearing the propaganda, but I have Christian friends and held services. Even I mentioned Beirut. I held a youth rally, and it's probably about half as many or a little more in that youth rally in Beirut during that war. And we all had to slip in one or two at a time in the darkness, and it's downtown Beirut. And they let us know if we would be discovered, every one of us would be assassinated. But those young Christians, praise God and listen to God's Word. I preached an hour and a half or longer to them. And they're just anxious for God's Word. Listen, if you can't be happy without anything, happy in the Lord, can't be happy and joyful if you had $1 million. Because you want then 2 million. Then you want 4 million. Then you have a fear you'll meet somebody that's worth 10 million. How are you going to act if you get around them? Read Habakkuk, the last chapter, the last verses. Although the vine faileth, fig tree faileth, it goes ahead. The fields are all burned over. There are no herds out in the fields. There's no cattle in the barn. Yet will I rejoice in the Lord my God. If you can't yell amen and hallelujah in an empty flour barrel when you've run out of necessities of life, I doubt if your heart will be right if God gave you a whole wheat meal, a meal to supply thousands of people with bread. But we put the dollar sign on prosperity. You have life. You have eyesight. You have ears. I want to detour just a little bit right now. My mother, Glenn Ewer, my mother was so anxious to go to heaven. Especially after Dad went. But she didn't have a morbid thing. Well, I'm tired on this earth and I'm weary. Oh, God, come and get me. Let me die. None of that. I didn't understand it till recently. I was watching a sunset. Because we've been so busy in meetings all our life. Some years I had one night out in meetings every night. But I like the sunset. But I never could enjoy it. So the other day I was enjoying a sunset, and all at once it just dawned on me. And then the next morning with the sunrise, God finished it. And I don't know if I can describe this to you or not. But if you'll read Jeremiah 1:5, and if you'll read Psalms 139th chapter, God knew you from before you were ever conceived in your mother's womb. That eternal spirit to be eternal this way had to be eternal this way. And it's the mystery of godliness. And look, all at once it dawned on me, and I got up and stretched my hands out over Lake Hamilton and said, Lord, through my tears, I was full of such joy.
Thank you for letting me come and experience this life on earth. Thank you, Lord. As I understood the Word of God, I believe. Someone recently said, oh, you preach that in a church over here. It's outside this city. And said, that's straight from the Book of Mormon. I don't preach. I don't know what Mormon preaches or not. I studied that when I was a young minister, a comparative religion. But I threw all that away, and I trust God that He'll show me how to win a Mormon, how to win a Christian Science, how to win a Roman Catholic. And God had to teach me this in my own ministry in the big temple in Ohio that God enabled me. And I said, God, what are you trying to tell me this week? And He showed me how to win Roman Catholics. Forget their Roman Catholics. Everybody needs Christ as Savior. Way to reach Mormons is not compare and argue. If you argue over something, you're not fully convinced yourself. So you got to be fully convinced yourself. So I said, thank you, Lord. Because here in God's reservoir of souls, there might have been a million souls when the day I was conceived, wanting to come to this earth. God, let this spirit go and be conceived in my mother's womb. And I stretched my hands out and full of joy. I said, Lord, I'm so thankful. See, this will put your life in perspective if you'll start believing in the eternal God was, is, and forever shall be. And I believe every one of us ought to do that every day. Lord, thank you for letting me come to this earth. There may be hundreds of millions of spirits that would do anything to get the opportunity that you and I have to come on this earth and serve God. Come at the end of the age. So my mother didn't have any covenant with death. If you have it, break it. She had a covenant with life. But I understood what she's talking about. She says, I can hardly wait. She said, this life is a springboard into eternity. And she's bouncing every day on the springboard. Not any morbid covenant with death, but excitement. She could hardly wait to go on to the next level, from this earth on into eternity with Almighty God. Now, poverty underfoot. And the Bible said the last enemy that shall be destroyed is what? Did you know, if you'll go into 2 Timothy 1:10, death is already destroyed. Not only destroyed, done away with. But in the book of Revelation, death and hell will be cast that day, but it's already. Death is dead. That great theologian around 1526, John Owen, that wrote The Death of Death. I don't even suggest it. It's hundreds and hundreds of maybe 1,000, 1,200 pages. And he lost me in every paragraph. I'd have to go back and study it. But I want to tell you, he wasn't preaching this, but death is already dead. We don't have sense enough to believe it and obey it. Now, I know time has run out. All right. God gave honor and glory to mankind. God wants every enemy under our foot. Well, now, Brother Clement, it's appointed unto men to die. Yes, and be sure your sins will find you out. That's the natural man and under law. We're dealing with the supernatural. God is not through with this world yet. I have a list here, and I could stand here and preach 10 things that's not done. And the Bible said, Jesus said, all will be fulfilled. All will be known. Luke the 10th chapter, Matthew the 11th chapter. All will be proclaimed on the housetop. Nothing secret, speaking of spiritual things. Ministers use that, you know, to uncover sin, say your sin. That's not what he's talking about. Read all of it. It said that everything we're going to know at the end of time, all truth, is to be revealed. And it'll not only be revealed, it'll be proclaimed on the housetop. The greatest move of God is just ahead. This generation is destined to know the Lord Jesus Christ more intimately than any generation that has ever lived upon this earth. There's been too many prayers. There's been too many pioneers. There's been too many martyrs. Too many prophets prophesying from the Word of God and martyr prophets for this thing to just blow over and not happen. Everything that God said is going to be done is going to be done. It's going to be fulfilled in these last days of time. Now, restoration, salvation wouldn't be complete
absolutely complete unless God placed us in the former state. The church should be in their Garden of Eden right now. Still, we're arguing with Moses, or we're tired of the manna. This thing began with God the Father, with man. If you have the Son, the Bible says you have the Father, but you have Him through, by, and in the Son, the Bible plainly shows. When you're filled with the Spirit, you have God the Son and God the Spirit, but you still only have the Father through, in, and by these things. But God says in Isaiah, several times in God's Word, ha, 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 ha. Did you know God can laugh? If you don't believe it, read Psalm 2nd chapter. It said, He that sitteth in the heavens will laugh. God can sing. He sings over us, the Bible said. God is going to dwell with man again, and man dwell with God before we go into eternity. That's the way it began. The Father of glory. You can run references. Or pick up the book, The Awesome Glory, over there. It has so many scriptures, hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of scriptures. Just because something is new, don't automatically say it is wrong. If it builds on the solid rock and the foundation, who you are and what you know already, and lifts it to new height, then it's a new revelation of God. God has never moved on this earth without a new revelation of His character, who He is first. People say, oh, let's all meet now and have a special Pentecostal conference. Let's see if we can rent the Lake Hamilton Bible Conference campground. And let's get there, 100, 200 people. Let's stir up a lot of advertising. Let's pray, let's fast, let's dance. And we're going to have a revival. I don't want revival. We're going to have another Pentecost. What was wrong with the original? We want to get back. I don't. We ought to be 2,000 years ahead of Pentecost. That was the beginning. This is the ending. You know what revival do? Skeptic says, I don't believe in revivals. They don't last. Neither does a bath, but you need one once in a while. But I'm not praying for revival. Because you know what? Revival can only get us back from our lukewarm state, our backslidden state. It might have a few little fringe things new, you know, little tinsel. But it can only bring you where you were. We don't need revival. We need the next advancement. And every great move of God, I repeat, is accompanied by a new revelation of God's majesty, His power, His being, who He is, not what He does first. Then the Holy Spirit accompanies that revelation of God. See, it begins with God. Anything that is worldwide and great and mighty and lasting begins with God. That revelation of who God is, then, is translated into our lives what God will do. You've heard me say this, the Reformation 500 years ago, God said, He emphasized, I'm a righteous God. He's always been a righteous God. But He said, wait a minute, all of this works and all, that won't make you righteous. They read in Romans, the just shall live by faith, and it said the righteousness of God is revealed. How? By faith. So it brought the Reformation. 200 years later in England, God said to the Oxford group and Charles and John Wesley, I'm a holy God. Now He didn't do away with the righteous thing, but He built upon it another layer. And He said, and be you holy. That was the great wholeness, sanctification, revival that swept this world. Don't let anyone belittle it. They're ignorant if they do. It was great for its time. Then 200 years pass, and God says, He emphasized this revelation, I'm God the Holy Spirit. Well, He's always been in Genesis 1:1. But He emphasized it, and there were many. England had all of these things most of 100 years before they ever swept America, but the Pentecostal world wants to sanitize all of their history, you know. They don't want to acknowledge what England had. But here in America, and the Assembly of God was organized in 1914 from Whittington Park right here in Hot Springs, the largest, I guess it still is, Pentecostal denomination. My dad is a 24-year-old minister, is in the founder's picture with six other men. Now they sanitize that picture because we hadn't got out there and yelled, Assembly of God, Pentecostal, Acts 2:4, every other breath. They don't want a humbard. Well, we didn't establish anything anyway. They drug my dad up to Sergeant Arms. He said, I'm not the founder. And he was the youngest in the group. But here's what I'm trying to emphasize. God said, I'm God the Holy Spirit, and you've neglected me. Ministers stand in a pulpit, and they preach about God, they preach about Christ, and say, now, the Holy Spirit we know nothing of. That's actually on Sunday morning what some of them said. And in my lifetime, I've heard ministers say that. The Holy Spirit we know nothing of. How ignorant can we be? But see, a revelation of who God is, not the signs, wonders, and miracles. That's the Holy Spirit manifesting that new revelation. Can you see? Don't get the cart before the horse. Now, the end of time, for the Shekinah glory to return to this earth, God crowned man with honor and glory. And you've heard all your life, God won't share His glory with any man. The Bible doesn't say that. You thought it did, it didn't. Well, the Bible said, don't let a man glory for God. You better get another translation. It didn't say that. It said, don't let a man boast before God. You say, well, there in Isaiah 42 and also Isaiah 48, God said, I will not share my glory with another. Read the first Isaiah 42. Read before and after. It said, with these idols man carve out and these heathen around, I'm not going to put any glory on those idols. If God won't share His glory with mankind, what was He doing in Psalms 8 chapter? Who is man? Thou art mindful of him. And He put honor and glory on him. And what are we going to do with Hebrews the 2nd chapter? This is not taking the glory away from God. This is receiving the Shekinah glory of God. When you're saved, God's the God of salvation. That means now God's weaker. When you're healed, that means, oh, you're taking away the character of God. No. The majesty of God. No. When God performs a miracle, that means, if for me or you, that means you weaken. When God gives glory to His children, He's the same glory. I'm not talking about people say, all the glory's in that meeting. I'm talking like this dear lady that climbed the mountain to Japan. And some of the pictures, the mist comes in their midst. And normally there is a visible, he spoke of the fire over the church with Brother Duncan, the fire department. That is a little foretaste from Forerunner, what we're talking. The Bible said that God will put make his face to shine and the glory of God be upon him. How many would believe Jesus Christ? Well, when you read the Word and Jesus speaks, He said in John 17:22, Father, the glory Thou hast given me, I give to my disciples. Now, to me, the next great move of God, and you go and study it in your Bible through the New Testament, it's the Father of glory revelation. What is the outcropping of that? God, through His Holy Spirit, is going to restore the Shekinah glory on this earth, not in a sweet by and by. Presently. See, Romans 6:4 said God raised Jesus from the dead by the glory. We don't need to pray and fast and pray that we can raise the dead. Although they say I was raised from the dead, I don't remember a thing about it. God erased everything out of my mind. But my uncle, three doctors pronounced him dead, and hours went by. It's in several books. And Joe French was his name. And he was raised from the dead and had a hell experience. Boy, you didn't have to say, Joe, now would you give your little heart to Jesus? Will you accept Jesus? Boy, he came out of that. It made a believer out of him. But see, God wants to restore the glory on the church. We don't need to raise the dead. We need the glory because that's what raised Jesus from the dead. And when we get the glory, it'll be a regular thing. The dead will rise. And one of the believers, God not through with them, they fall in the aisle. We'll scream and yell and pound and hit and all. We just say, arise, Christ gives you life, and you just get up. Amen. So God wants to do a new thing, a new thing. So may God lift all of us out of this babyhood. Gimme, 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 and oh Lord. That's where we are. Stay with it. Get out of it and stay out of it. Knowing who God is and who you are in Christ. Thank you so much for your attention. God bless you. Now, the book, The Awesome Glory, is not for everybody. If you think you've got it all and know it all, don't waste your time or your money. I'd give everyone here a copy with permission, but I don't own any copies myself. I don't have one copy. And I've had tens of thousands of books published and going around the world, and most of them I've given away. I've gone in debt for every one of them. I haven't made a dime or cent or penny off of them. But if you believe that God's still on the throne and He's not through with this world, pick up the awesome glory. The awesome glory. They have some here at the Bible camp. But like I said, if you're satisfied who you are and where you are and have no hunger and thirst for life, how many believe you're a spiritual person? You know your spirituality, though. Your spirituality is gauged by your hunger and thirst for God right now. Spiritual person is someone that wants God more. Because you have Him, you want Him more. Apostle Paul, after writing most New Testament, said, "Oh, that I might know Him." All right, stand, and we're going to ask God's blessing upon the dinner hour. Do you want to lead them? Thank you, Lord, for every provision, for life. Thank you, Lord, for letting us come by this earthly way, an earthly life and planet. What a privilege. Thank you, Lord. I pray that you lift all of us up to a higher plane. A higher plane in Jesus Christ. Accept our thanks for all of these blessings. This campground, its director, its leaders, and each one that's attended here. And bless this food for our body in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you.
This is the end of this message. Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com and LHBCOnline.com. There are hundreds of free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home.